Welcome to a new season of Retrain Your Brain with me, Dr. Audrey Tang. I'm a chartered psychologist and a trainer, and I specialize in giving you simple, accessible, practical tools to achieve everything you want out of life. And in this season, I am thrilled to introduce to you many guest experts whom I've had the pleasure of learning from, and I hope that you will benefit from their expertise too. A lot of the guests who have been through the mental health service have also said that talking therapy is not what they needed at the initial time where they reached out for help. So for today's show, I wanted to focus on the alternatives to psychological therapy that are out there. I'm not promoting one over another. I'm not saying this is what you need to do, but I certainly know from my own work that sometimes training or coaching may be a wonderful alternative to therapy. My first guest tonight is founder of CCET, which is Chinese Calligraphy Enhanced Therapy, Juan Du. And CCET has huge benefits in eliciting the state of mindfulness and self-expression. Welcome to the lounge, Juan. It's a pleasure to have you here this evening.
Thank you, Audrey. Thank you for having me.
To tell you a little bit more about our special guest, Juan is a registered level 8 psychotherapist and she's a mindfulness teacher. She's in her final year of professional doctorate training in counseling psychology and psychotherapy, and she offers short or long-term therapy, and her aim is to fully understand your struggles and challenges in life and find a therapeutic pathway that will be rapidly effective for you. What are some of the key issues that you have seen in your clinical practice recently?
There's so many issues, and for me it was very interesting when I started my work in NHS mental health care. I noticed that one of the clinical problems, the ethnic minority communities are much less represented in a client group. So that's began to my interesting, and I'm Chinese, so I particularly interested in Chinese population, and I've throughout my years in Sussex NHS, I've never seen any Chinese people come to talking therapy, and then I began to investigate that, and then I also asked psychologists across UK, some in London, some in Manchester, all different areas. And it comes out pretty similar. Chinese clients are very rare, so they don't see them often. Then I begin to dig into literature, and apparently in 2003, National Institution for Mental Health in England described Chinese clients as an invisible population.
Wow.
Yeah. And in mental health, in talking therapy. And on the other hand, the literature suggests Asian and people with immigrant background have a high prevalence of experience anxiety, depression. So that's something I started really interested in. And as a clinician, I feel, we have responsibility to understand this, not just this issue, but also how to bridging the clients. Because, no matter what background they come from, experimental health is not something they immunized, this is. That's my investigation and interest in develop therapeutic approach.
Do you think it's because some of the therapies we have available in the UK are just not fit for purpose for ethnic group?
My personal view, therapeutic approach is very Western discipline, two people in a room and talk about a challenging experiences, difficulties and trauma. And I think understanding people from ethnic minority, they have a different culture, social and linguistic needs.
Yes.
And also, that lack of awareness of mental health services, some perceived discrimination from professionals. And all of those are barriers for people from ethnic minority community access to mental health services. If you think philosophically, Eastern philosophy and understanding well-being are very different.
Very true.
Yeah, so body, mind, spirit, and then also, you know, particularly Chinese, and then have this huge sense of shame about, you know, if you have some mental health problems and keep it within the family. I'm not generalized,
of course,
but that's what I see in the clinical population. I see lots of Chinese clients in private practice, but in, you know, working in NHS, I found that the experience is very different.
So tell me a little bit more about how you came to develop Chinese calligraphy enhanced therapy.
Calligraphy is something very culturally rooted, a thousand years culture awareness and understanding calligraphy. So I grew up in China, so I practiced calligraphy as a part of a school curriculum when I was 6, 7. So therefore, there's something I took. It's not completely alien to them. It's the method itself is very culturally familiar, developing from one culturally sensitive approach to a therapeutic approach. And I work for NHS and I work in one of the, I don't know if you know, psychical education model with Recovery College. So where I led one of the courses in mindfulness and calligraphy. So I noticed it was interesting is all the learners are the English speaking. And they use calligraphy to, I encourage them to use calligraphy to express their feelings rather than from aesthetic side of a calligraphy. And the idea of have a protocol is hoping to bridging the clients not accessing therapy by approaching something they're familiar with. Then they feel more comfortable with understanding what is the talking therapy about. Then hopefully they can, you know, access to therapy.
Yes. Yeah. I love that because there's a couple of things there that make a lot of sense. The first thing is there is a familiarity. That's what you were saying with Eastern culture, East Asian culture. You will have been brought up practicing calligraphy at some point. But also, if other people in your group are practicing a similar therapy, it's you're connected with them. Mm-hmm. But sometimes I think one of the issues that second generation young people especially face is a loss of their old heritage. Yes. And in a way this allows a reconnection with that.
Yes, absolutely. Yes. So the client group I work with is including first generation and second generation, that you absolutely spot on. So for the second generation, they often found that, you know, some of the family, if they experience trauma, the parents tend not to express the Chinese culture within the family.
Yes.
And so this, but then, you know, part of their identity, they're seeking for understand who they are. So there was a kind of interesting process as well. I mean, it with the calligraphy handwriting, there's a lot of literature in Asia, particularly for example, in mainland, in Taiwan, that talk about how calligraphy practice enhance cognitive abilities, improve working memories in children and elderly, also reduce hyperarousal symptoms for cancer patients.
Wow.
Calligraphy practice enhanced well-being is not something new. Chinese calligraphy are really slow. So slow process. Yeah? And this pen, I could probably write 20 words in a minute. Calligraphy, you write a few words. So the whole process is really slow down. And then I think if therapeutically, you know, if you think about working different culture, it's difficult, right? You know, particularly yes. Work in a public health service, you have a limited sessions. So you want the client to be able to sit there straight away, do the work, but that's impossible.
What you're also doing is because you're putting it into the framing of mindfulness practice or art even, there's less, you can almost disconnect yourself, even though it's you saying it, if you need to take that distance between what it is you want to express and what comes out.
Yes. In this therapy, I often encourage each client to write down each calligraphy, whatever come to their mind. There's hierarchy culture in Asia, right? Kids don't say anything negative about their parents or grandparents. So
yes.
which is, you know, it's very difficult if the people are suffering from mental health problems and then directly related to that. So in the session, instead of to ask, you know, what was your experience of your so-and-so mistreated you? And you ask, you know, what's your experience? Can you just write down whatever come to your mind?
Yes.
Yeah. And it's a shortcut instead of go through this coach hurdles And so the clients might write something, then we explore, we reflect on, okay, I saw you write that. What does that mean to you?
Mm.
So often they're not feeling overwhelmed by the guilt and shame, you know, that they break that kind of hierarchy structure. So, yeah, so it's unfolding like that way. It's always encouraging the participant to express their feelings in a writing format.
To me, I think what you're able to do is to tap into some of the deeper feelings much faster through calligraphy, because something that I've had previous guests on the show say, especially young ones, they've said, sometimes I'm just not ready to talk. Yes. I don't want to talk just yet. I just want to express and have someone hold that for a while, and talking will come next.
The therapeutic rationale is it's designed to be non-threatening approach. As you said, you know, the clients take their times, and also the fourth session is integrated with the cognitive theory, mindfulness theory, and psychodynamic theory. So each session beginning with mindfulness breathing and some grounding techniques. And that also included the grounding ink, the preparation, mindfulness preparation, the calligraphy writing. And in this, the distinctive between this one and the, you know, normal therapy, not just that bit, but also clients and the therapists both prepare their calligraphy setting spontaneously. And the therapists use calligraphy to take notes. So this will really enhance promoting equality. And this is based on my personal experience in therapy, because you feel vulnerable, in a setting. So if a therapist use same process, and then it's become, you feel like, oh, wow, okay, we're doing this together. We're in this together. You know, metaphorically as well as spiritually, doing this together. And then also therapists encourage a client to use calligraphy to write down their thinking, feelings, whatever come to their mind. And, you know, and then both reflect together the meaning of when they look at the calligraphy practice and reflect the characters together. In this particular approach, it's not about how beautiful you write. You know, you write in the calligraphy, and then some of my clients never practiced before, and some are clients from, let's say, Chinese second generation, they English is their first language, but they're struggling with the identity, who they are, because they don't belong to the Western society, but they also don't belong to the community, you know, the Chinese community.
Yes.
So I think it's a meaning bridging to through the characters and the familiarity of experience, and to access to that part of it, that, you know, try to understand themselves and turn into resources, help them to understand it.
Through a process of togetherness, you are able as the client to see what you want it to do, to reflect on what you did, and be able to take that with you, working with the therapist. So it's not as if you go away thinking, oh, did that person think differently of me, or did I do something, or did I say anything? Have they noted something weird about me? And I think that's very empowering. But I want to pick up on the fact that you will have people second generation. I was nodding furiously as you were talking about that, because like those clients, I wouldn't have a clue how to start with using Chinese calligraphy. I find it very beautiful and I love it and I would love to learn, but I think I would probably come a little bit embarrassed or a bit, I don't know how to use this. I don't know what the characters mean. So how would you sort of get around my fears and my worries about a session?
Well, it's called Chinese calligraphy. That's because the method is, you know, based on Chinese mindfulness calligraphy practice and like a Zen practice. But people can write in whatever language they want. You don't have to write in Chinese. No. And they can write whatever. And I mean, I working with many second generation, they don't speak Chinese, and their language is very limited. Again, it will bring to shame, you know, if they talk about writing. So I encourage them to write on whatever come to their mind. It could draw whatever come to them, you know, some it's a collaborative and a creative approach. So so it do some you know, I that's something I'm also exploring in the future to do more CPD with training the therapists, which come from, you know, no Chinese speaking communities, and which is at the beginning. Now I already have a few inquiries to ask me to train in, for example, writing Persian, which is I have no idea how to write that language. But this sounds like they're also interested in approach as a, because it's a very mindful, you know, allow the person to slow down and have the shortcut access.
Yes.
And because it's not everyone comfortable sitting talking about the painful experiences. Yeah, it's not, that's not very alien.
Yes.
To us. So hopefully there's more opportunity in the future for me to do CPD and training groups and for you know, for this approach. And yeah, so people can get in touch, go to my website. So it's jenduotherapy.cu.uk. Yeah, if you're interested in this particular approach, it's just, so you need to be very explicit and about this approach, because there's some preparations I need to do and then prepare you for it. So it's a, you know, if for the, you know, so for someone who never done it, don't worry. Yeah, it's not it's not process of a you know, make you nervous, but it's actually, I encourage just explore many possibilities, be curious about this process.
Yeah. Wonderful. That is absolutely wonderful. And I will pop your links onto our Facebook page. Thank you so much for joining me. And thank you for enlightening me on such a wonderful approach to therapy. It's really been my pleasure to speak.
Oh, thank you so much, Dr. Tan. I, you know, likewise, I really interesting your work, and I'm a big fan of the way you're presenting, and it's just
oh, that's very kind. And what I love about doing this show is just being able to give our listeners just that little bit of a flavor of the many different things that are out there, because mental health is something that I personally believe should be accessible to everybody. And we all suffer from mental ill health. That's why, if there's any different ways or opportunities that maybe suit us better for feeling a little bit better about ourselves, we definitely need to know about them. So thank you so, so much.
And that's all we have time for. But do check out some of the earlier episodes for 10 Minutes on My Couch with more practical tips, or else my YouTube channel, Dr. Audrey Tang, Tools to Thrive. And you can catch more guest experts on my radio show on NLive Radio, which is the Wellbeing Lounge, Tuesday nights at 9 p.m.